Good morning, everybody. This morning, it's my pleasure to introduce to you National Sales Director Yvonne Lemon. Yvonne joined Mary Kay in 1996 and debuted as a sales director in 2002. Just 3.5 years after becoming a sales director, she reached the prestigious position of National Sales Director in 2006. She has earned 8 Mary Kay career cards and is currently driving her 7th pink Cadillac, the 2014 NSD Pink Escalade. Yvonne would like to add, I have never made a Mary Kay career car payment. My highest check with bonuses for 1 month has been over $35,000. In fact, Yvonne has earned over $2 million in commissions from Mary Kay Cosmetics. Yvonne and her incredible national area have reached gold service status for 5 consecutive years in Mary Kay. Yvonne has a degree from Texas A&M University, and prior to Mary Kay, she worked as a newspaper journalist, nonprofit fundraiser, was the executive director of a large trade group in Houston. She is married to radio talk show host Randy Lemon. Yvonne and Randy have been married 15 years and have 2 super smart, wonderful kids, Randall 12 and Selena 7. Thanks to Yvonne's income from Mary Kay, they attend a private Christian school in Texas. Last year, Yvonne's national area did over $4.5 million in retail sales. Her area named the TNT area, which stands for Today, Not Tomorrow. Since becoming a director in 2002, Yvonne has earned a 6-figure income in Mary Kay every year. Yvonne has always been a top director with personal unit retail sales in 1 year of $650,000, $1 million and $1.3 million. Her unit was ranked number one in the Emerald Seminar and number two nationwide in 2004. And in the same year, Yvonne was crowned queen of the Emerald Seminar, only her 2nd year as a director. Yvonne also achieved all the new director programs and is a Dean's List achiever. Yvonne has earned 4 diamond rings totaling over 15 carats. Her prizes from Mary Kay include $50,000 in cash prizes and more. Mary Kay has thanked Yvonne and her husband on all expenses paid trips to Rome, Maui, San Francisco, Greece, China, and many more. Yvonne was honored as the company's Miss Go Give recipient in June 2005, and she is featured in the company's marketing CD, Mary Kay, the Perfect Opportunity. Yvonne says she appreciates her Mary Kay business because it truly allows women to have it all, family, faith, and career. And most of all, life-work balance. Please welcome National Sales Director Yvonne Lemon.
Okay, Yvonne, we can't hear you. Hit star 6.
Can you hear me?
Yes, there you are.
Oh, fantastic. Here I am. Thank you, Angie. Oh, I love to hear that accent. And in just a few days, I'll be surrounded by it. I'm so excited. My husband could not sleep last night because I put him in charge of our excursions. We really didn't sign up for very much, Cindy, because we've been to London before in 16 years. And so he couldn't even sleep last night because he was reading this travel book and so excited about getting away and just really having some time for ourselves, which we so need and deserve, and going to London. So I'm so excited about it. You know, Angie, as you were reading my accolades, directors, I want you to think about those unit clubs. 1.3 million, 1 million, and 650,000. The 3 years I was a sales director. Think about, and just to kind of put it in perspective, and I know I probably don't have to, but I'm going to today because Cindy knows I'm a straight shooter. Think about what your production is right now. In order to do the top director trip, 650,000 retail, your production wholesale has to be 27,500 wholesale. That's if you did that every month on average, okay? In order to do million-dollar production, okay, your unit's going to need to do over 42,000 wholesale. Wholesale numbers for 1 month, okay? So in order to do 1.35 million, there were some months in there that were 75,000 wholesale, and that final month in June, 90,000 wholesale. So I want to put this in perspective for you not to overwhelm you, but to show you that this morning I'm definitely qualified to teach on what I'm going to teach on. And what I'm teaching on this morning is follow-up. Follow-up, follow-up, follow-up. Because to go from 650,000 retail my first year as a sales director and to double that to 1.35 million, it was all about the follow-up. It wasn't all about the base, the base, the base. It was all about the follow-up. So I'm going to talk about that this morning. So get your pen and paper out. The importance of it, how to do it, why to do it. I know you need to do it, but how do I do it? How do I get committed to it? And then I want to wrap up our call with controlling our emotions. Because I can tell you, when I was preparing my talk this morning, and there it was this morning, because, Penny, you know, we're about to leave on a 10.5-hour flight across the world, the globe, which is so exciting. So last night I was doing other stuff. But today I'm speaking from my heart and my gut, because I know this stuff like the back of my hand. I know it like, you know, like I know that I know. So in order to double what you're doing, you've got to get committed to the follow-up, but you've also got to control your emotions. And we are at the end of April, and many of you are not where you want to be, and we get into an emotional roller coaster, and we ride this emotional roller coaster, which doesn't benefit us. So we have to control our emotions. We have to control our time. And follow-up is really about controlling our time. And if you can get control of your emotions, even directors, even nationals, we have to control our emotions. It's not just the emotional roller coaster for consultants. Then you can be more effective, right? So we'll get to that in part two. So part one, we're going to talk about the follow-up, okay? Now, before we get to the follow-up, we have to talk about closing. Because if we close a mind on the spot, we don't have to do the follow-up, right? So let's talk about closing. Closing starts at the beginning. You know, I was trained that if you're going to open up a skincare class, you need to close it. If you're going to open up an interview, you need to close it. If you're going to open up a guest event, you need to close it. Everything requires a close, a strong, hard close, all right? So let's talk about closing. Closing starts at the beginning. Even when you're pre-profiling, and I know, oh, by the way, Cindy, I have my directors and DIQs on the line too this morning. So, and I know we have some DIQs on there. So let's talk about that. When you start your pre-profiling of your skincare class, or directors, if you're pre-profiling for your grand openings, I know I asked my assistant to send me a list of everyone that's attending a grand opening so that she can call them and confirm all their attendance. When I was a director, I called that list myself if I was attending a grand opening or a debut. With my own skincare classes, of course, I called them. The minute you start that pre-profiling process, you are starting the closing. Because you are establishing rapport, you're establishing relationship. Our number one job on that phone when we're talking to this future customer is to get her to like us, to be relatable and approachable. We need them to like us. So you've got to turn on your spark, you've got to turn your charm on when you're doing these pre-profiling calls. And this is something you definitely want to teach your consultants to do. That's when the closing starts. Then we get to the class or we get to the interview. We're still establishing rapport. You know, if I'm at the, let's talk about the interview specifically. If I'm at an interview, I'm getting all her concerns at the beginning so I can address every single one of them as I'm going through my recruiting notebook or recruiting sheet or whatever you use to show the marketing plan. And then at the end, I'm going to go back and say, let's talk about some of your concerns at the beginning of our talk, and let me go through them and make sure that I addressed all of them. A very important line to use at the beginning of an interview, okay, to help your closing, is to say to them, I am going to share everything about the Mary Kay opportunity over the next 30 to 45 minutes, so that the time we're done, you'll be able to make a decision on whether or not Mary Kay is or isn't for you. Let me repeat that. I am going to give you all the facts and all the information about a Mary Kay opportunity over the next 30 to 45 minutes. So by the time we're done, you'll be able to make a decision, yes or no, if Mary Kay is or isn't for you. I start my guest events with that. I start my marketing calls with that. I start my interviews with that because I want there to be the expectation of a yes or a no at the end. Okay? Does it happen all the time? No. But set the expectation. Closing also starts in your brain. When I'm headed to a guest event, when I'm headed to an interview, I am talking to myself. I am taking every thought captive. I am only pumping myself up. I'm telling myself how great I am. I'm telling myself how great Mary Kay the opportunity is. I'm reselling myself, okay? I'm imagining her, me handing her the pen and her filling out her agreement, okay? All of this is happening in my head. You've got to do the mental work first before you get to the appointment. Same thing with a guest event. If I'm walking into a guest event, I want to make sure all my sales directors, if you guys meet together on unit meeting nights or you're doing guest events together, which I know you are, everybody's on the same page. Everybody knows that we're there to recruit, we're there to recruit, we're there to recruit. We're creating a synergy. We're creating an expectation of closing. Okay. At the end of the interview, after I've addressed all her concerns and I've addressed them all through the recruiting notebook, then I can look at her and say, you know, is there any reason why you couldn't get started today? That's one of my closing questions. Another closing question is, do you feel like you and I could work well together? Great. She says, yes, great. Let's go ahead and get you started. Okay. And we work on closing. I use those closing questions. Joanne Bertolin said it perfectly yesterday. I hope you guys were on her call. If you talk too much, you're the one that's going to walk away with the starter kit. So shut up, okay? Stop talking. She was so right on when she said, become a master question asker and ask questions. If you find yourself talking too much because you're nervous, you're trying to fill dead space because we don't, for some reason, we don't like silence, although I love it. I love peace and quiet. I always ask for that for Mother's Day, by the way. My kids are like, what do you want? I'm like, I just want peace and quiet. Closing. Before I get to follow up, I want to give you one more thing on closing. If, let's imagine, okay, she's at a guest event. You know, the national has gone up, done her thing, okay. The directors are out running around closing people. That's your number one job, by the way, to close people at the end of the guest event. You're over there talking to your people. There's a gal, there's a prospect sitting there, and she's sitting at the table, and she's got, she's not moving. You're talking to her, and she may be really shy. She's got lots going on. She's thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking, and you're trying to ask questions, and she's just not even getting up. She's not even grabbing her purse. She's just sitting there at the table, and she's just sitting there. She's not in a hurry to leave. She's not looking at her phone. She's just in there. Ladies, she wants you to close her. Okay? She is not leaving because she wants to sign up, but you have to close her. Now, some are going to bolt for the door, right? They're going to grab their purse and they're going to leave, and that's when you're going to grab them. You've got to run to them, grab them by the elbow gently and say, oh, my gosh, do you have to leave by the way? And they're going to say, yes, I do. I have to. I'm, you know, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, oh, my gosh, well, please, please. And you're going to put your hand over your heart and you're going to say, you know, is there any reason why I couldn't call you tomorrow? I would love to get your opinion of the event today. Please, you know, what's a good time for me to call you? You do not let them leave without you connecting with them. But then there's the gal that's still sitting at the table who is waiting for you to close her. And that's the one that you are going to take your time with. See, sometimes we're so eager to move on. We're so eager to just move to the next person, or we're eager to, you know, if she's not, if someone's ready to sign and she's still thinking about it, say, I'm going to come right back to you and answer all your questions and concerns, but let me go help this lady fill out her agreement. And don't let her leave. She doesn't want to leave. She wants you to answer her questions and concerns. She wants reassurance. She wants you to close her. Okay? And your consultant is expecting you to close her. So take your shoes off. Have a seat next to her. Eyeball to eyeball. The best way to close people is to get on their level, eyeball to eyeball. Y'all, there's so much body language and just tone of voice when it comes to closing, right? And make that eyeball to eyeball contact and say, you know, and then some of those closing questions are, I know you heard a lot of information this morning. Tell me what impresses you the most. Tell me what stood out to you. Ask questions. Next question. Okay, If you were to ever do Mary Kay, what would excite you about doing it? Okay, I want all positive stuff, right? Third question. Okay, I'm feeling some concern. What are some things that are concerning you about starting a Mary Kay business? Let's talk about that. Okay. Sometimes, and then I keep going. You know, I go through her concerns. I mean, I get so excited about this, like I can't, like my brain is just on overdrive. Okay. Here's what I'm seeing too much of in the field. Have a cup of coffee with me a day, 2 days, 3 days from now. Ooh, I forgot about Mary Kay. We're not closing them on the spot because we're procrastinating. We're saying, well, okay, just have a cup of coffee with me later. And when she walks out that door, the percentage of her signing drops tremendously when she walks out that door. So take a breath. Take the time. Kick your shoes off. Say, you know what? I don't have any other appointments after this. I want to answer all your questions and concerns. Let's go through it. Okay? So she knows you're going to give her that attention. It all happens every time. Every time I do that, I can close them. Right? Even if it's, oh, I need to talk to my husband, and I say, I totally understand that and respect that. Is there any reason why we couldn't go ahead and just fill out the agreement? And then I will call you on your way home after you've gotten his green light and go ahead and process the agreement. Okay? So if we do all the right things at the beginning, we won't have as much follow-up, but we're still going to have follow-up. So now we're going to shift, and now we're going to talk about follow-up. Okay? Follow-up, follow-up. Your follow-up calls. Okay? I know you're taking notes. Scratch out that word. We're now going to call them our thank you calls. Okay? We are going to do our thank you calls on a consistent basis, a daily basis. We're going to thank people for coming to our event. We're going to thank people for sitting down to interview. We're going to thank people for attending that skincare class for that DIQ or future red jacket. By the way, this is all about building reds. It's going to get really, you have to become a master at follow-up to build red jackets, right? So we're going to call them thank you calls. Before we can even get to our thank you calls, we need to be on the same page with our key people, those emerging leaders that we're building into red jackets. You know, you're taking, right, your 3 to 5 people every month that you've selected that you're going to build into a red jacket, right? I'm looking at my whiteboard right now, and I've got two gals in my personal unit that are on target for a red jacket. They both have 2 people each, okay? They need 1 more person to be in their red jacket. They were on my whiteboard at the beginning of April, and bam, they're going to be red jackets by the end of the month. I selected them, okay? One of the coaching conversations that I have with my emerging leaders is follow-up is key, but we're going to call it thank you calls, right? And I'm going to need to be thanking the people that help you out. That means if you have a skincare class and there's some people that are interested in a career and you've shared the information with them and they weren't closed, I would like to call them the next day and thank them. The consultant, one of my consultants who's fairly new, is like, well, I don't know. What are you going to say to them? I said, I promise that whatever I say to them, they will feel like $1 million when I'm done. Whether or not they join your team, they will feel like $1 million. Okay? So there needs to be trust, but she also need to have the expectation at the beginning of the relationship that I'm going to call your leads and thank them. Because how many of us run into that consultant that will hand over their names and phone numbers to us to follow up? I'm sorry, to thank them. You're going to call them thank you calls, but my brain is going in and out of follow-up and thank you calls. How many of us have that consultant? They won't give us the names and numbers to follow up with them. Well, she's not giving us the names and numbers to follow up with them because, A, she doesn't know what we're going to say to them. Those are her friends. And, B, she doesn't want you to be pushy, right? And, thirdly, she doesn't trust you. So we have to establish that on the front end. We have to tell her what we're going to say, how we're going to make her people feel, whether or not they join Mary Kay or not. And we need to ask her to trust us. Can you trust me with this? All right? So now we're going to get into the follow-up, our thank you call. So we've set that up so she knows. Okay? Couple of things on making your thank you calls. You must pencil it in. You must make time for it. To go from 650,000 retail to 1.35 million, I had to make time for my follow-up calls. My meeting was on Wednesday night, so I did my follow-up calls on Thursday and Friday morning. Thursday and Friday morning from 9 to about 11:30. I call people at work because I think that when we wait until 7 or 8 o'clock at night to call people, I'm tired, they're tired, it's just procrastination. So, for example, let's say someone came to my unit meeting. She wouldn't close the unit meeting. Before she left, I said, you know, I just can't stand it. I so want you in my organization. I'm going to call you tomorrow on Thursday. Which is better for you, 9 in the morning or 10 or 11? Like, what's a better time for you to call you in the morning? I work Mary Kay during the day, just like you do your full-time job during the day. And so what's better for you, 9, 11, or after lunch? Would you prefer 1 o'clock? I'm going to get her permission to call her during the day. Some of you still work jobs. Those of you that are laid those jobs off a long time ago when you started Mary Kay business, let me ask you a question. Did you or did you not take personal phone calls when you're at work? We all did. Okay. We all took personal phone calls. Most of us took it on the company landline because we didn't have cell phones. So she's going to take your call if you call her during working hours, which is what I want you to do because you're most fresh, you're most at your sharpest, you're most alert 99% of the time in the morning, right, when you can make your focus. And also it gets back to eating the frog. Eating the frog. Eating the frog means, is an old banker analogy, is do the thing that you least likely want to do first thing in the morning so that you can do the things you want to do for the rest of the day. Eat the frog. Meaning, just go ahead and eat the frog first thing in the morning. Okay? Make your sales calls. Make your thank you calls. Get it done. So it's not hanging over you all day and then it ends up not getting done. So you're going to make time for it. Don't procrastinate. You're going to call them thank you calls. Okay? And I'm going to give you a script for that. And Cindy, I can send you all my scripts in a little while, but let's go through them. Okay? Some truths about follow-up. Some truths about follow-up. Most people need the follow-up. You know, personally, I would rather have someone that's required some follow-up and that's going to stick with Mary Kay than that lady that signs up right on the spot and then leaves and I never hear from her again because she made a quick decision, she didn't give me any thought into it or, you know, she didn't even process anything. She signed right on the spot and then I never hear from her again. Not that those people don't become successful, okay, and they won't be superstars, but you know we've all had them. Signed right on the spot, we're like, we got three agreements, and then, you know, one of them we never hear from again. So I, when someone has to be layered or they have to have the follow-up, I'm like, that's cool, I'm going to take the time because I know the fortune is in the follow-up. Okay? The second thing is, I just said it, if she doesn't make a quick decision, be grateful. It's okay. You can still, she's making a deliberate decision. Okay? What is that saying that I've heard before? Successful people make decisions quickly and change them slowly. Is that right? And the opposite is make decisions slowly and change them quickly. So I'll let you think about that. Number third, follow-up needs to happen first thing in the morning. It has to happen at the beginning of the day. You've got to pencil it in. I did mine Thursday morning and Friday morning. And actually on Fridays from 9 to 11, I would call it my signing up day is what I called it. See, mental work. I called it signing up day. So Randy would be like, what are you doing today? I'm like, today's signing up day. I have my laptop out. I got my agreements. And I would start my follow-up, and I was signing people up. That was, see, my mental work was done. Today's signing up day, and I'd start doing my follow-up, and I'd either, a legal's not on the line, right? I'd either fill the agreement over the phone, right, or I would log into, anyways, I'm not going to tell you what you have to do. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. All right. So, but I was signing people up, okay? Fourth, always let her leave with some piece of marketing information. This is for our DIQs. I know our directors know this, but they need to get a recruiting packet, a CD, something in their hands that looks professional, that is well put together, that they can take home. They always need an agreement. I order agreements like crazy, okay? And I make sure they go home with an agreement. because sometimes they, most of the time, they do come back filled out. They take it home, they look at it sitting on the counter, their husband says, what's that? Oh, it's Mary Kay. Somebody wants me to do Mary Kay. I heard about this company, you should do it. All right? So always let them leave with something that's part of your closing, that they've got something in their hands. And DIQs, it is not your director's responsibility to put these marketing packets, recruiting packets together. This is your time to start developing this. And directors, start handing marketing packets and new consultant packets to your star team builders. Start empowering them with that so that they can think, oh, I have to put these together at some point. All right. 1, 2, 3, what number am I on? 5. Okay. Everyone must fill out a, here I had Millennium profile sheet when it was the Millennium, but whatever you call it, tell us what you think, I'd love your opinion form. I call it a lead sheet. That's what I call it. I call it a lead sheet. Everyone must fill out a lead sheet. If they're not going to fill out an agreement, they need to fill out a lead sheet. That lead sheet is your, is golden, okay? It is golden. It's got her name, it's got her address, it's got her cell phone, you know, it's got all her information on it, okay? That lead sheet, let me tell you, I've seen so many different kinds of lead sheets. I've seen them where they're big, I've seen them where they're half a page. Here's the deal. The only thing you want on that lead sheet is her name and her phone number, okay, and her address. Some of these lead sheets, and I'm fine with it. You know, women, it's fine how they're. I have some on my website. The I'd Love Your Opinion form. We're about to turn those in for a big purse drawing in a week or so. But they have little questions on there like, you know, check here if you're this, check here if you're that, check here if you want to be a hostess, check here. And then some of them even have this scale at the bottom that says on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, and then the 5 is crossed out. Don't answer 5. It totally confuses us. And then, you know, 10, you're ready to sign up today. 1, you'd rather eat dirt than do Mary Kay. And then they circle a number, okay? You know what I do with those lead sheets? I take the name and the phone number. I take the rest of the sheet and I fold it over when I do my thank you calls because I don't want to look at that. I don't want to mess with my head because she may have circled 1 and then I think, oh, I'm not going to call her back because she's a 1 and she's going to be scary. Oh, but 7 and 8, I'm going to call them right now. Okay, eat the frog, start with the ones first. I always start, you know. Anyway, I don't even look at that because that, first of all, is a lie. Right? It's like someone taking me to go look at, you know, a brand new, car or handbag that cost several hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I'm like, well, I don't really need that right now, so I'm going to tell them I don't want it. Well, yeah, I want it. It's nice. I like quality things. So I'm not going to tell the truth. So they're not telling the truth. So first of all, if you have those on there, go ahead, keep it on there. The prospect loves to fill it out. They love to get there. But just know it's a lie, okay? Because I have seen people go what I call dilate, right, from a 1 to a 10 in a matter of hours or overnight. They have dilated all the way to 10, okay? So I don't even look at that. So please do not mess with that. Don't look at it. You're gonna do thank you calls with everybody. And you need to make sure that those Millennium profiles tell us what you think, I love your opinion forms, are filled out. And then directors, you go and grab them like they're $100 bills because they're actually more. They're worth more than $100. They're worth tens of thousands of dollars. Those lead sheets will bring you millions. Millions. Cadillacs, trips, position. That's what those lead sheets, that's how golden they are. I want you to look at those lead sheets, and every one of those lead sheets will bring you millions. However, if you don't get the lead sheet or you give it to an untrained consultant to follow up with or you forget about them, I've left guest events where there was a ton of lead sheets just hanging around and the director's off to go have lunch. I'm like, I'll take and follow up with them. I'll take those millions. Those lead sheets equal $1 million in unit clubs, but also in your bank account. So I take my lead sheets, and I'll give you an example. One time I had a guest event at my house when I lived in my second home. We had 40 guests there. Everybody filled out the lead sheet. That was on a Thursday night. So Friday, I was like, yes, I got these people to call and thank. I was so excited. I took my stacks of lead sheets and I put them in priority. I put them in an A stack, a B stack, and a C stack. What does that mean? My A's were, oh my gosh, I really liked her. She stood out to me. She asked a ton of questions when we were playing the ticket game. Those are my A's. I'm closing these babies today. My B's were a little slower. They may have been the guest of that person. They didn't ask a lot of questions, but they were interested in just getting a feel from their personality. They were going to make a little slower to make a decision. They went in my B stack, okay? My C stack was, oh my gosh, these people were dragged here, drugged here. They don't want to be here, okay? She had ick all over her. Like, she was just grumpy and icky and itchy, okay? And she goes in my C stack. I'm still going to call and thank her, okay, because I'm representing me and Mary Kay in my area. So I'm still going to call and thank her, but she's in my C stack. She's one of those icky people. She goes in C stack. I'm going to follow up with them all the next day, but they're in priority order A, B, and C, okay? All right, so you've got to have that sheet. If you don't have one, every website, national website, has one, okay? Number six, you must set the time and the day to follow up with her, and it must be within 24 hours. It must be within 24 hours. It has to be within 24 hours, okay? This particular event that we did at my house, we did facials, we did marketing, facials, marketing, so they had tried the product. You know, I have never forgotten this word of advice from Marilyn Welly, my national sales director. She says, a woman is more likely to sign up to do Mary Kay within 24 to 48 hours of trying the product. A woman is more likely to sign, and she's trained by Mary Kay Ash, just like Cindy Fox. A woman is more likely to sign up to do Mary Kay within 24 hours of trying the product, because she is at her highest excitement. She loves the product. Her face feels great. She's like, wow, this is amazing, right? So she's more likely to sign up. So we need to start closing in on that gap. We can't be waiting a week or 2 weeks to go have coffee. We have to tighten it up. Okay, this is what we need to do. This is our job. This is what we're supposed to be doing. What else are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be closing people. We're in sales. We're building organizations. We're building, you know, national areas. So set the time and ask her. Say, you know what, I know you have to run out the door. I mean, when there were 40 guests in my house, it was crazy. My senior director was there, Nancy Ashton. She was trying to help me close these people. But, I mean, it was big. I mean, this was my own personal event with 40 guests. I was a new director. So she's running around, I'm running around. Some of them we just couldn't get to. So I just take I'd love your opinion for them, and I say, oh my gosh, when's the time for me to call you tomorrow? I'm going to lose sleep tonight if I don't get to talk to you tomorrow. I mean, I just know it. We've got to talk. Like, that's the kind of sense. See, that's when I'm getting, when I'm pursuing them. Remember, women like to be pursued. This is a dating relationship that we're trying to turn into a marriage. So, they want to be pursued. Oh my God, and listen to my voice. You just see my body language right now. It's like, oh my gosh, I've got to talk to you. I've been so impressed by you. This whole evening, you've got spark, you've got personality. You're just what I'm looking for. Remember, pursuing her. And then the tone changes in the closing. You calm down, you're listening, affirming, supportive, encouraging. All right. Okay, so you must schedule a time to follow up. So what do I do when I call her the next day? When you have that phone fear where you're like looking at it going, oh my gosh, what am I going to say? Oh, I just won't do it. I'm going to go work out instead in the middle of the afternoon. What am I going to say? Oh, you know what? I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to go have lunch and go get a Starbucks. I'm going to go organize my junk drawer, you know, purge all my winter clothes and, you know. Okay, so questions to ask when you follow up. Number one, thank you for coming. That's easy. Right? Hey, Cindy, this is Yvonne. I was so excited to meet you last night. Do you remember me? You try to be funny, right? Gordon Maple's the master at that. Try to be funny. Joel Olstein, he's a master at it. He cracks a joke at the beginning of every sermon before he starts it. Do you remember me? Of course I remember you. Great. I just want to thank you for coming. I know you're so busy, and, you know, you could have been at home watching The Voice or Downton Abbey or whatever, and you came to our event, and I'm just so grateful. I just want to call and say thank you. Awesome. Did you have a good time? I want all positive feedback. Yes, I did. Did you learn something new about skincare? What did you learn? Tell me what you learned. Okay. Starting the conversation. Okay. What products did you purchase, or will you purchase? Did you purchase anything? Was there something that you just had to have, otherwise your face was going to fall off? Sometimes you're going to have to work on your humor, right? You don't have a lot of time on the phone with her, so you've got to engage, you know, all her senses, laughter, right? And also, when you're doing your thank you calls, make sure you're smiling. Like, you smiling, like, I'm smiling right now. Can you tell? I mean, smile so that she can hear that smile over the phone. I used to work for a yearbook publishing company, my first job out of college, making $21,000 a year. Really? I remember there was a sales guy that sold yearbooks. Okay, he had accounts, like they all had accounts, regional accounts. And he was the number one salesperson at the publishing company, which is now Jostens. He was the number one salesperson. And everybody thought he was weird because he was the number one salesperson, right? And gosh, if you're going to be number one, you're going to stand out, right? And he stood out. He wasn't like the rest of them. And in his office, he always looked good. He smelled good, suit, you know, hair in place. I mean, he had the image down. In his office, when he would sit at his desk, he had a mirror, like this big horizontal rectangular mirror, so that when he was making his calls, he could watch himself, or he would look at himself when he was making his calls. And he trained, my job was to go and video the top sellers in the company and create these sales videos for the sales conference. And we were interviewing him one day, and we said, okay, everybody wants to know why you have this mirror here. And he was like, so I can see myself and remind myself to smile when I'm on the phone with clients and prospects. I thought, wow. And now, look at, okay. So then, what products did you purchase or will you purchase? And then I say, here it is. Oh, my gosh, I would never forgive myself. I mean, never forgive myself if I didn't ask, have you ever thought of making extra money? I'm still here. I know you all are wondering. That's what you need to do after you ask that question. Have you ever thought about making extra money? You've got to be quiet. You've got to shut up and let her talk, okay? So this is important stuff because before I move to point number six, I just had a little aha moment. Your people that want to be in red jackets, the women that you are leading into a red jacket, do you hear what I'm saying? That you're leading into a red jacket. Red jackets just don't pop up. I mean, sometimes they do when you're building a $1 million unit and you create a movement, or a national area and you create a movement. But you're leading them to the red jacket. You lead them to the red jacket. When they bring a prospect to an event, when they bring a prospect to a meeting, when they put a prospect on the phone, this is where my personal responsibility, this is where my commitment stands up. This is where I show up for her. Because do you know how many no's she had to go through to get that one caller on the line? Do you know how I want you to put yourself in that new consultant's shoes or Google back to how you felt? Do you know the fear that she had to go through? Do you know the rejection she probably had to have, how many people she had to call or text before she got that one person on the marketing call? Okay, and she's feeling like such a winner because she went through seven no's and she got this one person on the call. It is our obligation, it is our duty to close her. It's our job. There have been times in my married career as a sales director where I would be sick to my stomach. Like literally sick and confused, okay? Sick and confused and just really struggling because I couldn't close people and this girl just kept bringing me people and bringing me people and they made them target market but they wouldn't sign. And I'd come home and I'm like, I'm feeling like such a loser because I can't close her people and I want it for her so bad. And she keeps bringing her and I want it for her so bad. I would be sick. I would be so sick. I'd sit here and I'd rack my brain and I'd try to figure it out. I'm like, what am I missing? And sometimes when you're too close to the situation, you can't see it. So you have to step away and you have to ask for, you have to seek wise counsel. And so I'd call one of my other friends. I'm like, help me figure this out. What am I missing? And she could look at it from a different perspective, right? So I'm like, dang, you're right. That's what I need to be doing, right? So, y'all, we have an obligation. We should be sick to our stomach if a consultant brings five guests to a guest event and we haven't closed any of them. Like, we should leave there going, oh, my gosh, I've got to figure this out. This has to happen for her because of what she had to do to get those people on the line and what she had to pay if she's having to pay to bring people to an event, you know, like brunches and things like that. So my heart is so passionate about this, and you are the best closer. You are the most skilled person. You have influence. You see, you know when I started this call and I said, listen to all my accolades in my unit clubs, and I said to you, I know that I'm an authority. I'm an authority in this field, and I can train you on this. That's what I want you to step into. I want you to step into that for you. You are an authority on this. You can look at someone who won't leave the table, and you can say, I know how to do Mary Kay. I'm in the top 2% of the company. I've earned 8 cars. If you're going to do Mary Kay, you want to do Mary Kay with me. I'm going to train you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to show you how to do Mary Kay. Not just good, but how to do Mary Kay great. She wants to know that you're good at what you do. We've got to take that legal brag moment. You are all entitled to take a minute to tell her, to sell her on you and how great you are. You did not get here by accident. You got here by doing thank you calls. You got here by taking the no's, taking the hits, taking the dings, getting back up every day to get your card out there, to promote yourself, to promote Mary Kay, to promote our mission statement, to really work this ministry out in the field of helping women. You got it. You just need to tell the world about it. You know, I always love watching Muhammad Ali, like when they do those old clips and whatever. He was telling everybody how great he was, right? So, I mean, you don't do that all the time, right? But when you're closing, man, you better be all of that and then some. Does that two people want to join with? Number 6, I will ask her, what impressed you the most about our company? Number 7, can you see how Mary Kay can make a difference in your fill-in-the-blank? Social life, mental life, financial life, personal life, family life, fill-in-the-blank. Okay. Number 8, what would it take to have the opportunity to work with you? What would it take for you and I to work together? Oh, my gosh, I have to work with you. I said that to one lady once. I said, what would it take for you and I to work together? Man, I really want to work with you. I want to work with you so badly. I can't stand it. And you know what she said? She said that that's what really got her to sign up because she worked with a bunch of people she didn't want to work with. All right? And then my 9th question is, you know, is there any reason why we couldn't take baby steps and get you going? Okay, just kind of easing into it. Is there any way we couldn't get you going? Okay, so some other questions here, and I'll send them to Cindy and put them on my website. I have my assistant put them on my website. Send them to Cindy, and we can go through them. But I've got a ton of follow-up questions. I've got follow-up questions for after the interview. I've got follow-up questions for after the pre-recorded marketing line, and I'll give you what that might sound because I know a lot of nationals have that line that runs 24/7 where you can just call in and listen to a marketing line. First thing is I say thank you for listening. 2nd question, have you been thinking about Mary Kay since you listened to the line? Tell me about that. Tell me more about that. Write this question down. Tell me more about that. That helps you not talk so much. Tell me more about that. I use it on my 13-year-old all the time. Tell me more about that. Just the other day, this morning, he was telling me about how kids are, you know, kind of thrown into towel since they've only got 4 weeks left of school and they're not really working. And they're just kind of blowing stuff off. And I said, oh, tell me more about that. Because I wanted him to give me names, but he wouldn't. What appealed to you the most? What else? What else? I want 3 things that appealed to her the most. Do you remember on the line, and I'm going to repeat the marketing. I'm going to repeat the marketing. Do you remember on the line that Yvonne said there are no sales quotas, no territories, and we make 50% commission? Which one appeals to you the most? I'm repeating the marketing. okay, a little bit. What would concern you about getting started? You still felt found, right? I know how you feel. I felt the same way, but what I found. Do I have your permission to review what it takes to get started? Now I'm going to go in for the closing. It's only $75 investment, right? So all these questions, everything has a thank you call. Everything has, everything. If you're going to open something, always close it. Just remember that. You're going to open it, close it, just like the refrigerator. If you're going to open the refrigerator, you better close it. All right? So you're opening, if you ask someone to listen to MarketLine, there needs to be closing. All right? If someone listens to a CD in their car, there needs to be closing. Okay? That's included with inventory, marketing, everything. Okay? All right. So last thing I want to say about follow-up, and then we're going to get into our emotions, emotional management for directors. Oh, I've got 10 more minutes, I think. Okay, consistent follow-up is the difference between consistent follow-up is the difference between a unit of 30 people and a unit of 100. Imagine what you could do between now and June 30th. How many red jackets you could lead women to. Leading women to red jackets if you got committed to the follow-up. It's the difference between a paycheck of $1,000 and a paycheck of $10,000. Remember, those lead sheets were worth millions. They're worth millions. Just look at them. When you see those lead sheets flying around, just imagine. Those are hundreds of Benjamin Franklins just lying there. It's the difference between a Chevy Cruze and a Cadillac unit. It's the difference between a director and an elite executive and an elite executive and a national sales director. You will get, here's the other thing. I used to work for the American Heart Association. I've had all kinds of weird jobs before I started Mary Kay. I'm coming up on my 20th anniversary in Mary Kay. But I used to work for the American Heart Association and fighting heart disease and stroke. And they paid me $34,000 a year. And we used to have this saying. It was kind of a joke because we all had to be first aid CPR certified. And when you're doing, if you've ever taken a CPR class, I know Carol Ball has, we used to say a little bit of CPR is better than no CPR, even if you're not doing it right. Like, at least do something, right? And so I take that to follow-up because I said, you will get better at doing follow-up by doing more follow-ups. I'm not that good at it. Do more of it. You will get better by doing more follow-ups, right? Practice will sharpen your skill. As sharp skills build a strong unit, and a strong unit builds, and a strong unit, and a strong unit builds a strong national area. A strong unit builds a strong national area. So get committed to your thank you calls, truly, truly. And in closing, let's just talk about our emotions today because we're coming towards the end of the year, and I want to give you three tips on helping to manage your emotions, because as future talent directors and future national sales directors on this line, you've got to manage your time and you've got to manage your emotions. If you don't eat both of them, they'll either make you money or they'll cost you money. That's so true. So our emotions can help us in relationships, right? But we can't let our emotions lead us because our emotions are fleeting. You know, the Bible talks about how, you know, our emotions are up and down, and we really shouldn't, and we're not supposed to put our faith and our stock in our emotions because they're fleeting. And they come from our thoughts. They start as thoughts, and if our thoughts are not good, then it starts to bleed into our emotions, right? And so our emotions don't have to lead us. So I want to give you three tips this week. As you are working on your month end, working on your seminar goals, taking a deep breath, taking some time to meditate and pray over your goals and over your intention every day of what you're working towards. But the first one is to get help. I was reading in Philippians over the weekend. I was with my daughter at a mother-daughter's retreat. And this is a particular scripture from Philippians 4, 2 to Philippians 4, 2 through 3, the Apostle Paul is pleading with two women to agree with each other, okay? I'd always gotten back down to Philippians 4, 6 and hadn't read the top part of it. Go to your Bible today if you can, but the first point, the first sentence in Philippians 4, 2 talks, I plead with you, Eudodia, and I plead with, I can't say her name, Syntech to agree with each other. These women are fighting, and he's like, "What? Please help me. These women are driving me crazy." He's asking them to seek help. Okay, he says sometimes you need to seek wise counsel about your emotions, especially if you can't get them leveled out, right? And when someone gives you advice about it, you have to be open to it. So if you're feeling really emotional and you're like, "I'm so emotional right now," and, you know, I had one time a DIQ that came up to me and says, "Yvonne, I'm so depressed and I've got all this stuff going on," and every symptom that she told me was depression. It was depression because I've suffered with depression. And I looked at her and I said, "Okay, you've got to get some help. You've got." She sought me first. She sought me for wise counsel. And then I looked at her and said, "You've got to get some help. You've got to get chemically balanced. You're going to need some medication. And also, you've got to talk to someone." She was smart. She took my advice. Okay? Some of us will go seek wise counsel and they'll be like, "Hey, that's not what I wanted to hear." If I go to Cindy Fox and I say, "Cindy, I'm struggling with something and I really need you to help me work through this," and I have. I've actually done it with Cindy and I've done it with Kathy Rogers Smith. And if they offer the advice and then I just blow up and say, "She doesn't understand. I'm not doing that," right? Then what's the point in seeking the wise counsel? So in getting our emotions in check, we have to get help, okay? Now, when I say that, I don't mean that you're to call your senior director or your national and use them as your psychologist and your psychiatrist. We are not trained in that, right? Some of us, Marilyn Riley always used to say, some of us do need professional help. Listen, I got my little box that says professional help in my life. Check. That box is checked off. So she'd say some of us do need professional help. But sometimes you just have to seek the wise counsel. And, you know, if a director comes to me and I have five of those ones that say, "Hey, I need some help. I'm really struggling with, you know, my stress level, my emotions of my year end." I'm like, "Hey, let's talk about it. Let's uncamp this. Let's just camp out and let's talk about it. And let's get into a strategy." But ask for help. That doesn't mean we're going to be your psychiatrist, but somebody can notice something. You know what I notice when things are really, this might be what someone notices. I notice when things are really great, you're on a high and you're really consistent in working your business. But I notice when you start to see your key emerging leaders start to drop off, you go into creative avoidance. And you start doing other things, like signing up for all the stuff at school, right? Booking your vacations during end of the month, right? You go into creative avoidance mode. Right. As a national, you know, our job is, of course, to encourage and inspire and mentor you, but it's also, we're not your BFF. Mentors are not your BFF. Otherwise, they'd be called BFF. Right? Number two, give it to God. Y'all, we've got to get right with our emotions in the morning. Like, the first thing I do is get in there, even before I put my feet on the floor, I say, "Dear God, thank you for giving me another day. Please help me just do what you need me to do today." Not, "God, I need you to do this for me today." Sometimes I do that. I'm like on the floor, flat face, going, "Lord." But I say, "Lord, just use me today. Help me be intentional. I want to be intentional." There I go, asking for things, but just use me today. Use me. Give it to God. You know, Philippians 4:4-7 says, and this is where I usually go to this. I hadn't read the top part. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to the Lord. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." Now, that is all emotional management. That scripture right there is emotional management. Don't be anxious about anything. Be grateful. Get your gratitude journal out or make your prayers of gratitude. This whole scripture here is emotional management. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Yeah, our thoughts start in our head, and then they bleed into our heart. And I always say when their heart's not right, their words aren't right. They're sarcastic, they're rude, right? When it starts in our head, he's laying it out right here. It starts in our head, goes to our heart, comes out in our mouth, right? "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So we have to ask for help. Lord God, my thoughts are in the wrong place. I've got so much worry. I'm worried about my sin. I'm worried about my car. I'm worried about, you know, my husband's bleeding down my back. I'm worried. When it comes to our, and it gets in our brain, and then it bleeds to our heart, and then it comes across as anxiousness and desperation and stress, and that's when we start yelling at our kids, and we're barking at people, and we're kicking their cat, like Zig Ziglar says, right? We have to start with God. We have to go to God first. We get your head on straight, okay? Head on straight so that our heart's in the right place, right? Because both of those, you know, are the dark side. Literally, they're the dark side. Our head is in the dark side, and our heart is in the dark side. And we have to get them right so we can control our emotions, right? All right, and the third thing is we got to focus on the truth. We have to focus on the truth. And he outlines it right here. What are you supposed to be thinking about? You're supposed to be thinking about the good stuff. Right? The good stuff in your life. In Mary Kay, in the blessings. Think about the good stuff. You know, Cindy and I started this conversation. Oh, we're so overwhelmed. We've got to talk all this stuff. And I'm sitting there as I'm saying, I'm like, oh, I've got to talk all this stuff. I'm thinking, shame on you. You're leaving for London on Thursday. Shame on you. You should be so grateful. Right. And you're worried because you packed two suitcases full of clothes that you were able to buy, you know. That's crazy. We have to step away from the crazy, right, and really get into our gratitude. And the last thing is he says focus on the truth, and he outlines it what that truth is like. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think about such things. See, it's important before you do, coming full circle now, it's before you do these thank you calls, that you put your head, your heart, and the words right. Okay? Otherwise, you're going to come across as desperate, tacky, icky. And remember, at the very beginning of the call, we promise, we give our word, we told that consultant, you can trust me with your people, and I want them to feel like $1 million when they get off the phone with me, whether or not they sign or don't sign. Okay? So it starts with us. We're the leaders. We got to lead our brain and our hearts and everything, right? So, and this morning I was talking to future National Sales Director Holly Knepp, and she was sharing me one of her favorite scriptures, and it's one of my favorites too. And it's Romans 12:2. I'm turning it to it right now. Romans 12:2, and it says, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." By the renewing of your mind, right? And so, focus on that. Our emotions do not have to lead us around. We are not prisoner to our emotions. We got to get help. We got to give it to God. We got to focus on the truth. So when you catch yourself going down that slippery path, which I've been down, okay, not anymore, but when I've been down, catch yourself before you even go there. You cannot be effective in your thank you calls if you do not take your emotions in check. Okay? You have to get your emotions in check. And as we wrap up our seminar years, we're coming across the final 2 months, May and June. It's even more important that you get your emotions in check, because you cannot be successful if you are transferring your stress to your unit, if you're transferring your stress to your senior director, if you're transferring your stress to your national, if you're transferring your stress to your family. You cannot be effective. You just can't. You're going to emit stress and not fun and joy and peace and love and, you know, all the fruits of the Spirit. So anyways, get those emotions in check. I promise you. If you do that every day, just that little exercise, okay? I was like, okay, where are my emotions? Where's my intention? Where am I today? The next 2 months can be so exciting. They can be so exciting for you as you multiply and divide yourself with these follow-up calls. That's your job, to multiply and divide yourself. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see where you guys are going to land. And it better be high and it better be big, because if you're going to play all out. So, and I can't wait to celebrate you at the Emerald Seminar, because, of course, this will be the Yvonne Lemon National Area's last Emerald Seminar. So we definitely want to see you and hug you. So thank you, Cindy Fox. I can't wait to see you too on Friday morning when we arrive in London, England.
Yes. So I repent before we got on the call what all I was saying about packing. You're absolutely right. I'm so thankful. Yes, I just flew in at the on Saturday night from Florida, from working in Florida, and I had a customer that this lady, she will call me. It's, I don't know, we're in a rhythm or something. Every time I'm traveling, she calls for her makeup. And so, anyway and anyhow, Steve was supposed to take it to her. He had an accident. He got hurt, couldn't take it to her. So I get it to her yesterday. She said, "You've been out of town again on me, haven't you?" And I said, "You always call me when I'm out of town." And so, anyway, we were laughing about that. And then I spontaneously interviewed her, but like a follow-up interview, because I've talked to her about Mary Kay before, and she said, "I thought over the weekend, I wonder if she's going to ask me again." And yeah, so see, they're waiting. Yvonne is so right. They are waiting for you to say something again. But anyhow, and then I said, well, she said, "Well, when's the last day for the showcase special, whatever?" And I said, "Well, the last day is Thursday, but I'm leaving for London." And she said, "What? You just flew in from Florida, and now you're leaving from London for Mary Kay?" And I said, "Well, this is a vacation, Mary Kay, for me and my husband." And she said, "Girl." And she was just blown away by it. And I am thankful. I'm very thankful. And
me
so
too.
And I'm thankful I had the money to buy all these clothes. And shoes and hair product, my Lord. But anyway, okay, there was something you said. Oh, I got questions. You know I always do. Well, let me find it. But, oh, the guy with the mirror, the guy that you said had to have the mirror, the yearbook
sales. Oh, yeah, the sales rep at the yearbook company, yeah.
Yeah, Mary Kay told us to do that, Yvonne. Mary Kay,
yes,
Mary Kay Ash, she used to tell us to practice, you know, of course we didn't have texting and Facebook messaging and all that junk. We just had the phone or face-to-face. And she said, practice in the mirror before you pick up the phone, and when you can convince the lady in the mirror, you will convince the lady on the other end of the line. And to this day, when I'm booking, I have to be in front of a mirror. Now, when I'm doing calls like that, I have to be. I'm so ingrained in me from Mary Kay's early training. I mean, I've even, when my kids were little, I would get in my car and I'd adjust the rearview mirror so I could see myself, because you smile and you have voice inflection, you know, like you're talking to somebody. So Mary Kay said that too. So I thought that was interesting that you said that. Okay, and I love that you call your day after your meeting signing up day. This is my signing up day. I mean, that is such a powerful affirmation that brings results, and that you said you got to make thank you calls on a daily basis and a consistent basis, that 24 to 48 hours. Mary Kay taught us that. They're hot for 24 to 48 hours, and really after that first 24 hours, they begin to get cooled off. But, you know, that first 24 really is when you want to do it. And your ABC stack of people with the did you knows or whatever sheet, millennial
yes.
lady, ABC, I love that. And I was writing C, and all the way you described icky, yucky, grumpy, frumpy, whatever. And so I just put A, people are, I really liked her, really connected. B, a little slower. And then on C, I put not so much and a sad face. In my notes, a sad face, not so much. But, you know, sometimes those are the people that come through. And I'm like you about the scale of 1 to 10. I don't even look at that. I do not even look at that, because I have had people that marked zero, that wrote a zero on the sheet, and then in the follow-up, they signed up. And I believe in having paper agreements, too. Girl, we have so much in common, I think, in what we do.
I know.
We do. So send me those questions, though, because I know everybody's going to want those, your follow-up, you know, list of questions that you do. Because that's
yes.
going to be powerful. And I don't know what I was going to ask you. You don't ask for permission to call them at work. You just say, "I'll call you tomorrow." What's your best number?
Well, I don't ask permission. I just say, you know, I do all my calls during the day just like you do your work.
Right.
So would 9 o'clock be better, or 11, or after lunch? So because I don't want a yes or no answer.
Right.
I don't want to give them a yes or no question. I'm sorry. So I just told them, hey, I do my job. I do my work when you do your work.
Mm-hmm.
So just if they could gently just say, hey, you know, I make my calls during the office hours, like you make it, like you're, you know, when you're at work. So what would be better, 9 o'clock morning or afternoon or early morning, something like that.
Right, right.
So that we don't procrastinate and wait until 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock when we're all emotionally drained and tired and, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you know what? Everything you said was so timely. I mean, when you opened up and said what you were going to talk to us about, that you were going to talk about follow-up and closing and how important it was, and then emotional management, I thought, perfect. And I know my directors ask me, do you tell these nationals what to talk about? And I'm like, no. No, I promise. I don't tell them what to talk about. I really don't. It's just, you know, I just, it's just the good Lord, mainly. But it's all, you know, training. Like you said, we've done this, and we've done this, and we've done this. And Mia Mason Taylor said something at a workshop back in February that she came and did for us, and she said a professional, she used a basketball player, and then she used a golf like Tiger Woods or some of those professional golfers. They do the same thing the same way over and over again, you know, how they line up at the tee if they're a golfer, how they stand at the free throw line and bounce the ball once, twice, and then stoop and shoot, you know, they do the same thing. A professional does the same thing the same way over and over and over. That's why they're a professional. And she said an amateur tries every such a thing and never sticks to anything. Yeah, just keep, you know, and so that's what we do. That's what we do. So if you've got just a couple of minutes, I'm sure there's some people on this call that would love to come on and affirm you. Do you have a few minutes?
I have a few minutes.
Okay, all right. Girls, if y'all hit star six, you can unmute yourself if there's something you'd like to, an aha moment, a wow moment that you'd like to say to Yvonne this morning. Okay. Maybe not. I know they're there. I'm so glad you got your directors to be on the line. My girls have been texting me, and one of them said, I never knew she was so funny. Never knew Yvonne was so funny. And you are funny. You're very humorous. But you are powerful. I mean, I'm telling you. I don't know how tall you are. I know that you're not – as tall as I am, but however tall you are sheer power, Yvonne Lemon. So I will see you. When are you flying? Thursday?
I leave Thursday, and then I get there asleep. We're taking the red eye. Wake up Friday morning.
Yep, we do too. We're flying all night. We leave at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm excited.
PM. I am too, girl. I am too. Well, see you there.
I'll see you there for welcome dinner. I love you guys. Thanks for calling in today.
I love you too. All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.